stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Introducing Reliable Managed File Transfer for ZOS. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll hear an introduction to the new Managed File Transfer solution for IBM. Managed File Transfer, MFT, enables files to be moved between IT systems reliably and securely, regardless of their size. The speaker for today's teleconference is Mr. Ben Mann, Product Line Manager, WebSphere MQ. At this time, I'd like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mann. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce this exciting topic to you today, how we can deliver managed file transfer with a new product called IBM WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition for ZOS. My name is Ben Mann. I work in the Hursley Laboratories in the UK, the home of CICS and MQ. I look after the WebSphere MQ family, and it's really my pleasure to introduce this brand new offering to you today. Turning into the second slide, it poses the question, what is driving your business today? There are so many demands from the business on IT, and they seem to be ever-increasing, providing more and more challenges that need to be addressed. Here are just a summary of some of the key challenges that you might be faced with. I think it's important to understand the business drivers behind these challenges because it really puts it in context and really helps us to think about how we can serve the business better as IT leaders today. Many organizations are looking at ways that they can make better decisions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, using up-to-the-minute information that can help them to make better forecasts and predict buyer behavior and those kind of patterns so that we can better respond to opportunities and counter any threats that might come along. Clearly for IT, that really means how can we get a better up-to-date view of information around us? And in many parts of an organization, there might be the need to transfer information from remote departments, satellite operations, stores, any outcrop of the business that has data that is needed for that decision-making and forecasting. And the IT challenge really is how do you reduce the window of time it takes to get that information back to the decision-makers and build an accurate picture of the world? Another IT challenge that many organizations are faced with is how to avoid errors that take place within key business processes, particularly those that involve partners, the supply chain, and also your clients sending important transactions to your organization. And there, really, the IT challenge is to try and make sure that as data is exchanged between those IT systems, you can eliminate and reduce any source of error, of partial transmission of information. Increasingly, organizations of many sizes and many industries are faced with audits of one kind or another. One in particular is regulatory compliance. And in many cases, these obligations, looking at whether the information that's being exchanged is sent in an integral and secure fashion, particularly if that information is financial in nature or contains something that's sensitive and private. So here the challenge really is how do you not only secure information in transit, but ensure that the integrity of that data is preserved, particularly when it's being moved between IT systems, which is clearly an opportunity for information to only be partially sent. Most organizations are looking at how they can innovate to generate new business, and the IT challenge is how can you deliver the new function needed for that innovation as rapidly as possible without the need to duplicate the function that you already have. So how can you reduce the time and effort needed to bring those new innovations to market? As belts tighten, many organizations are looking at how they can consolidate the IT infrastructure that they have and reuse it across their enterprise. And in addition, as organizations look to service-oriented architecture to help them meet that challenge, it's great to think about how you can leverage those capabilities across your entire IT infrastructure and look at IT departments and processes that could benefit from widespread use of those investments. And finally, it's important to think about how you can make an IT infrastructure usable by a larger majority of people within the organization. And often this relates to trying to make sure that the broadest range of IT specialists can be brought in to enable you to take advantage of those investments. So those are just a range of some of the key IT challenges that IBM is seeing its clients face. But there really is a common thread behind these various challenges that might not seem interrelated. And that common thread is described on slide 3. It poses the question, how do you move your information? Because the way in which we move information, the way in which we handle that movement, really is fundamental to all of those IT challenges. And the movement of information can clearly help you ensure that you get data to decision makers faster. The quality of service that you have when you move that data can really affect whether that exchange is reliable and secure, particularly ensuring that the integrity of the data isn't compromised as it flows between different systems. Most of the effort involved in delivering new function is actually integrating it into what you already have, and data movement is really key to addressing that problem. And again, the rest of those IT challenges really do revolve around that fundamental question. So that begs another question, which is, well, what kind of information are people moving today, and how are they doing it? Well, the next slide gives an answer to that question. Many applications within your infrastructure are likely to be file-oriented. By that, what I mean is that they expect to receive a number of files as input. They do work on those files, and they generate a number of files as output. It was really a common paradigm, a way of thinking about developing applications around the time when many new applications and assets were being built within silos in organizations. And typically, organizations are using a mixture of homegrown technologies, technology called FTP, the File Transfer Protocol, and other FTP or file transfer products to enable the movement of data between those applications. But really what we're trying to encourage our clients to think about is how much of that data being exchanged between those file-based systems is using unreliable, unsecure mechanisms, particularly those based on a very basic level of the FTP standard. And secondly, how much time are you spending just maintaining these systems and trying to cope with the ever-increasing volumes of files and the sizes of the files themselves? Well, if the infrastructure can't cope with that, one might wonder, why are these technologies used so widespread? Well, if the problem looks like file transfer, then certainly file transfer protocol is an obvious solution to that problem. It really has become the lowest common denominator for moving information around the organization, and it really represents an attractive quick fix to what looks like simply a file transfer problem. The concepts involved in that environment are quite simple, and so it's easy to get started without the need to rely on specialist skills. And finally, FTP support is typically free, provided within operating systems are widely available, and that makes it a very obvious solution to this problem. But is it really a solution? Well, let's look at the next slide. How do you move files? Against each of those IT challenges, there are a number of key questions that you could pose to yourself to see if really your file transfer infrastructure is living up to the pressures of modern business. For instance, selecting the third of those challenges, how to preserve integrity of data and secure it, you might ask these questions. If you have a file that's being transferred around your organization, could you prove in an audit that that file only went to places in the organization it was supposed to? What about if that file is only partially transmitted? Can you detect that situation, and can you recover from that situation when file data hasn't completely arrived? Another question you might pose is, can you prevent and can you prove that you have prevented unauthorized access to files? Clearly, if you're using basic FTP solution to address this problem, the chances are you won't be in a position to answer yes to any of those three questions. So let's look in more detail at the limitations of the basic FTP protocol on slide 6. Now, it's true to say that the FTP protocol has been enhanced over time with additional standards and also by custom proprietary code developed by vendors building FTP-based solutions. But the basic FTP protocol is still the most widely used and most widely relied upon, and that really has limited or no reliability. Files can be lost. Analysts and other organizations could share with you the proportion of file transfers they lose in their organization, and you can clearly ask your IT department to think about how many files they're losing. That's really because FTP does not have any transactional characteristics. What about when a batch of files is being transferred? What happens if the files themselves are complete, but the batch isn't? Well, it really depends on the application. But supposing that's a customer order that's being processed, the result could be that only part of that order is fulfilled, resulting in the customer being very unhappy. Also, between different IT systems, the format of the data is often not converted, and that can mean that the file data can be almost unusable or worthless at its destination. What about security? Well, it's true that there are extensions to FTP that do provide security, but they're often not used, and the result is that a lot of data is sent in plain text. It can be easily snooped on by others. And in addition, more sophisticated concepts of security like privacy and non-repudiation are lacking, and resulting in issues if you're exchanging information between different parties that you can't trust. Other limitations include the difficulties customers have to adjust or to evolve their FTP solutions. And that can be seen in terms of the limited flexibility that basic FTP offers. Another area that customers are particularly concerned about is how to get visibility of what's going on. We mentioned the challenges involved in determining when file transfers haven't been moved properly. But there's also the challenge of how do you monitor the movement of files and how do you log and audit those transfers in a centralized fashion rather than have to look at each specific system and look at the transfers that are happening in just that point in the network. So clearly, basic FTP itself is really not designed to meet up to the business demands and IT challenges faced by enterprises today. What other advantages could there be from moving away from basic FTP? As described in slide 7, this is a report that was developed by an industry analyst, Software Strategies, who concluded that many basic FTP projects are augmented by custom coding. And the result is that the more programming effort organizations put in to try and address the limitations we've just looked at, the more it costs them, both in building the initial solution, but also in maintaining it. And so by moving away from these sorts of approaches to file transfer, IT departments can really start to save costs and be able to integrate more assets than they were able to previously. Obviously, this is good because it frees up those precious IT resources to be able to apply them to innovative projects that can do more for the bottom line. So what is a better way of moving files? It's described in the next slide as managed file transfer. This is an entirely different philosophy to the basic FTP protocol. It's really protocol independent, and it talks about the kind of quality of service that organizations require for their file movements today. The key word is managed, and that embodies a number of things. It's the ability not only to move a file or a document, but also to manage the movement of that file. And in that sense, you want to be able to provide a transfer that is auditable, so that if you're required to prove that you know where files have gone, you can pull up an audit-proof log and point to exactly where files have come from and exactly where they've gone to. Clearly, a managed file transfer needs to exhibit a degree of reliability. Ideally, it needs to be bulletproof, provide a proven, reliable transport for moving those precious files and documents. It clearly needs to have a level of security. We mentioned the issues customers have in just moving a plain text data with passwords and usernames. We clearly need to provide a qualitative service that encrypts, authenticates, and provides things like non-repudiation and privacy. File sizes continue to grow. Files are no longer in the megabytes. They're gigabyte-sized documents being exchanged. And so you need a solution that can scale up to really any size of file. It isn't limited by capacity of a particular networking protocol. You also want a managed file transfer solution to be automated. You don't want to have to rely on somebody to initiate the transfers. You want to be able to detect transfer problems that might be occurring, and restart transfers automatically to ensure that the data is delivered as soon as it can. We also really want to provide a backbone so that from your core IT systems, you can run the entire file transfer network. In addition, organizations today don't want to rely on everything being simultaneously available in order to do transfers. So you want a mechanism that is time independent. And lastly, you want the ability to control the entire file transfer from anywhere in the network with centralized control. Well, IBM recognizes that managed file transfer is not just a niche component within an IT solution. It is a strategic part of your IT infrastructure. And so it needs to be aligned with your other initiatives, your messaging backbone, your enterprise service bus, and all the other components of your SOA solution. The next slide introduces IBM's vision, and that is of an SOA messaging backbone. This is really a transport layer within your organization. It can underpin an enterprise service bus. And what it does is it provides a reliable highway or a bridge that enables you to use a range of different delivery styles or topologies, a range of different qualities of service, integrate a variety of endpoints, enabling you to extend out from ZOS to all the other devices, operating systems, applications, and so forth that are in your infrastructure. And also be able to leverage a wide range of skills, including people whose mindset is file-oriented, and be able to leverage that single common transport mechanism to move enterprise data. Slide 10 introduces IBM's managed file transfer solution. The idea really is to deliver a backbone for managing the movement of files and documents. The benefits you can obtain from this will be to reduce IT maintenance costs and development costs, to be able to ensure that file data is preserved in order to help you with regulatory compliance obligations, but also to not just address the file transfer problem, but be able to lay down infrastructure that can be reused for SOA, an infrastructure that is flexible, can be easily changed, that can integrate with the rest of your solution, and can be leveraged by your enterprise service bus so you can apply those capabilities to file data. So let's just look at a few key areas where clients are looking for a managed file transfer solution. One area on the next slide is regulatory compliance. I've touched on this already. The key point is the ability to be able to demonstrate in an audit that you know where file data has gone. So when that file, those files that might be residing on your ZOS machine have been moved perhaps to the distributed network and back again, you know where the files have come from, you know who's changed them, you know whether the file is complete or not, and you can prove that with an audit log. Another area on the next slide is when customers look at infrastructures they have for files and infrastructures they have for messaging and realize that really all of this, at the end of the day, is just data. So why have two infrastructures, one for files and one for messaging, when you can have a consolidated transport that handles all kinds of enterprise traffic? Clearly, the benefits here include operational savings from running one infrastructure rather than having two separate ones. So hopefully that establishes for you some of the benefits of managed file transfer and an understanding of what it really means for the business. Let's look at IBM's solution. The next slide introduces WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition for ZOS. This will be the newest member of the WebSphere MQ family, and it really builds upon WebSphere MQ for ZOS, the messaging transport that provides for integration. It's also complemented by a sister product that runs on the distributed platforms that enables you to have the same reliable, managed quality of service extended throughout your organization. It will provide the ability to control file movement between your IT systems and leverages WebSphere MQ's proven reliability to ensure that file data arrives once and once only. And it can handle both small files and files that are much greater than WebSphere MQ messages. Important point is that from end to end, it provides an audit trail of exactly where the files have gone. It's really designed to work with WebSphere Message Broker for ZOS, or ESB, that runs on the ZOS environment, and it enables you to apply its file processing capabilities to remote files. This product has been preview announced, Our planned availability is the fourth quarter of 2008. Let's look in more detail at some of the features and benefits of this new product on the next slide. So once your MQ file transfer edition for ZOS adds a number of file transfer services that run on top of Web3MQ. Because it includes the entire Web3MQ capability, it provides a multi-purpose infrastructure that can be used for file traffic and message traffic. And it provides those three key actions: the ability to easily configure a file transfer rather than actually program anything, the ability to track the transfer in progress right across the network, and then finally, once the transfer is complete, the ability to audit where the data has gone and be able to demonstrate that the file data is still intact. Let's look on the next slide at some of the key features or themes of this new offering. I've just talked about the auditability. The point here is that we capture a timestamp log of the file traffic, and that data is persisted in using Web3MQ's queues, and it can also be loaded into a relational database for archiving purposes. Because we want to make this technology usable by people that have file transfer skills, but not necessarily MQ skills, we really have a focus on ease of use, making it possible to drive this product without programming, without any MQ knowledge, and be able to remotely configure file transfers in an ad hoc fashion, or be able to deploy transfers that can happen on a scheduled basis or triggered by file events. And all these capabilities are integrated into IBM's Eclipse graphical configuration tooling, enabling you to access all of those things remotely. In terms of simplicity, we provide a solution that just runs on Web3MQ. There's no other technology prereqs. The product is optimized for the managed file transfer solution. In terms of security, we're leveraging the Web3MQ for ZOS security capabilities, including secure sockets layer to ensure that file transfer data is encrypted and to ensure that the systems that send and receive files authenticate. And in terms of the breadth of the solution, this offering will run on Web3MQ for ZOS version 6 and version 7. The sister product on the distributed platforms will clearly provide the ability to extend a managed file transfer solution with the same quality of service out to a range of non-ZOS platforms. It will also provide the ability to convert files between a wide range of file types, including popular ZOS file types such as QSAM, BPAM, and VSAM. Also have the ability to automate those file transfers. So if you have a transfer that needs to occur on a specific schedule or at a predetermined time, this can be configured through the solution. And you can also combine that logic with rules that define file transfer events that trigger the movement of files. So I mentioned earlier that this product is going to be available in the fourth quarter. How can you get involved in the product at this time? The next slide describes our early access program. This is very similar to a closed beta. In other words, a beta that is confidential and requires signing a non-disclosure agreement. The difference is that this beta or this program runs much earlier than a traditional beta. It's really alpha-level code in the August timeframe. And during this program, you'll be able to see on a regular basis new iterations of the product leading right up to the product GA. So you'll be able to see it evolve, and you'll be able to provide feedback to IBM, because we really want to understand the problems that you're facing so that we can ensure this product delivers the maximum value in its first release. If you're interested in applying for the Early Access Program, please talk to your IBM representative, and they can nominate you for the program. Let's look in some detail at the product architecture to understand how it's able to leverage MQ to transfer files. There really are three key components of the solution. One of those is the tooling, which we'll look at a little bit later on. A key point here is that we're integrating into MQ's existing Eclipse-based tooling environment and providing the ability to control the solution from a centralized point. We leverage Web3MQ queue managers across MQ servers as the principal way of moving the file data. one or more of those key managers acts as a coordination key manager and acts as a focal point for deploying new file transfers, also for broadcasting the status and progress of a transfer, and also the repository for collecting the audit log information, and from there being able to load that into a database for archiving purposes. The other component runs on the distributed environment are a number of clients that use MQ client channels to send and receive files into the network. So let's look at some of the benefits of using Web3 MQ as the backbone for file transfer. Some of these are listed on slide 18 under features and benefits. I'm just going to go through a few of these. The ones that I won't cover in detail include the ability to use custom exits to add additional user function at various points in the transfer, including before and after the transfer has been sent. In addition, it should be noted that there is the ability to provide APIs that can be leveraged by custom applications and third parties to be able to monitor and track file transfer progress. So let's look at those features and benefits in more detail on slide 19. File transfer backbone is really the ability to move a file from one point to another point across the network without having to understand the intermediate steps that file might need to take across the network. And this is important for two key reasons. One is it really simplifies the need to configure a transfer across a number of intermediate hops in the network. So that really makes it a lot easier if all you need to do is understand the source and destination of a file, rather than have to define a number of jumps to reach the end of its destination. It makes the solution a lot more flexible, because if any of those intermediate points change, the solution, using MQ's ability to resolve the destination of data, enables you to avoid the need to rebuild your solution. But from a monitoring and auditing point of view, it's really important to be able to audit the data across its entire journey and not have to piece together an audit log from a number of unrelated and disconnected logs that may only be between each hop of the journey. So this capability really simplifies the configuration, helps make it a lot more flexible, resilient to change, but also makes auditing much, much simpler. The next slide, time-independent file transfer, describes another capability of this solution that depends on Web3 MQ's asynchronous messaging transport. And what this means is it can be much easier to configure solutions, because you don't have to ensure that all the solution components, the machines, the applications, the networks, are simultaneously available. MQ's asynchronous messaging will ensure that any disruption to the solution components is overcome automatically without the need to intervene. So as soon as each of the components are available, the file can be transmitted, even if, for example, the source system, having sent the file data, becomes busy or unavailable, or if there are networking problems during the transmission. This can really help to make the solution much easier to configure, but also it can help to improve the productivity of applications that don't need to wait until everything is ready to transmit. The next slide introduces perhaps an obvious benefit from using Web3 MQ for ZOS as the transport mechanism, and that's really its reliable, proven delivery that is relied upon by over 10,000 customer sites to move massive amounts of very valuable data for over 15 years. And this is really because Web3 MQ for ZOS uses its Queue Manager repository combined with the two-phase commit techniques used for transactional systems and various IBM patented technology to ensure that data that it's transmitting, including file data, is sent in a reliable once and once only fashion. And clearly, this avoids the need to detect transfer failures and recover from them, because the MQ transport has that capability built in. The next slide describes another benefit of using the messaging backbone as a basis for moving files, because really one of the capabilities that we introduced into Web3 MQ a few years ago is the ability to remotely configure the entire network using Eclipse-based tooling. This provides a centralized place to remotely configure and view the entire backbone. And whilst this runs on the Windows and Linux x86 platform, it can be used to tap into WebSphere MQ running on the ZOS environment, and you'll be able to view all of the MQ solution components. Our own connections are secured using SSL, and the entire Eclipse environment is extensible and customizable. So it's a really good environment to help improve developer productivity. So what we've done on the next slide is to really extend that Eclipse-based MQ Explorer tooling with specific extensions and specific plugins that help with managed file transfer. A key point here is that whilst it's all part of the same tooling interface, it's been designed to be used by developers that have no knowledge or understanding of WebSphere MQ, so that from this interface, they can think in terms of what files are moving, the source and target of those files, the conditions they want to schedule the transfer and trigger the transfer under, and then be able to view and audit those transfers at a file level. This will enable people that don't have MQ skills to use this product to configure their ad hoc transfers. So we'll look at a few screenshots of a prototype for this tool that's in development. If you participate in the early access program that I described earlier, you'll be able to see the current iteration of this product for yourself, play with the tooling, and get familiar with the program. The next slide, slide 24, just gives a preview of how file transfers are created. And the key point here is that each of the endpoints for files, the potential sources and targets of file transfers, publishes its existence to the tooling. There's no need to remember where you can send files to and from. The tool will present you with a list of those. But also there's no need to understand the intermediate journey the file needs to take, as we described before. And also no need to have any knowledge or understanding of the underlying MQ components, like the queues, queue managers, and channels that are being used by WebSphere MQ file transfer edition for ZOS. The next slide gives a preview of the ability to audit the file transfers. So at the source, where the file is originally resides, to the target, there is a log of the transfer. The tool can be used to view it, as you can see here, but also other applications can use publish and subscribe to listen for portions of the audit information that are relevant to it. And as I mentioned earlier, the entire audit log could be interfaced with a relational database for archiving purposes. So, for instance, it would be possible to build an application that checked the audit log for transfers that had failed for one reason or another and be able to take some action on that. The next slide gives an indication of the scheduling capability. So if a particular file needs to be moved every so many days until a specific point in time, maybe it's the second Tuesday of the month, for instance, the built-in scheduling capability provides a node programming solution to configuring that file transfer. This can be combined with triggers that are indicated on the next slide. There clearly will be a range of triggering conditions built into the product, and through exit points, you'll be able to define custom situations where a file needs to be sent. The next slide gives a preview of how to monitor the file transfer progress. This will give a visual display of how transfers and batches of transfers are progressing. And just like the audit log, it's possible to subscribe to the monitoring status and be able to show that either in a custom application or in a third-party monitoring tool. And clearly, IBM is interested in encouraging its business partners to take advantage of those APIs. That gives you a quick overview of the graphical tooling environment that will be provided with WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition, and that can be used with the ZOS product. But in addition to the graphical tooling, there will also be a scripting environment, and that's described on the next slide. Some of these commands are indicated, and more are in development. But the key point here is that it provides a programmatic way of driving the product, and it can really help improve the productivity of advanced developers that are able to get to grip with scripting. Now, whilst the product we've been focusing on is clearly designed for the ZOS platform, the distributed product will extend that quality of service out to a range of other platforms, including Linux on distributed, the three Unix environments, IBM AIX, Sun Solaris, and HPUX, and also the Microsoft Windows environment. And as I indicated earlier, this product will support both the current version of WebFreeMQ, version 7, and the prior version that's in service, MQ version 6. So the result of this new product, WebFreeMQ File Transfer Edition, both on distributed and ZOS, is really to extend the MQ family to be a universal transport. And that's described on slide 31. So the benefit here really is that what you have is a combined solution that enables you to handle a wide range of different data types and different styles of delivery into one consolidated infrastructure. So in addressing your managed file transfer problems, you're using infrastructure that can be reused for SOA. In addition, that infrastructure can be built upon and added with ESB capabilities, such as file transformation, mediation, and content-based routing. And on the ZOS platform, WebFreeMQ Message Broker for ZOS is a good fit with IBM WebFreeMQ and its file transfer edition. So the next slide poses the question, why IBM for both managed file transfer and for the messaging backbone? Well, first of all, IBM has many years' experience in delivering connectivity solutions. Our objective is to enable our clients to connect virtually anything. The benefits there include being able to lower the risk that your organization will adopt a technology or a platform that you can't integrate. It enables you to draw the skills that you need from a much larger pool of personnel to lower the skills costs and enable a majority of your developers to get value from the technologies. IBM really does have the most widely used connectivity infrastructure, particularly its messaging, which is deployed on over 10,000 customer sites. And those customers are really relying on the proven backbone that IBM provides to move an astonishing amount of data and value of data across their networks every day. And as you've seen with this new product and with others like it, the IBM WebFreeMQ family continues to grow. We continue to invest and innovate in this space with new technologies to expand not only the definition of messaging and integration, but also the range of people that can make use of it. The next slide describes some potential steps that you could take following this presentation. The key one really is to encourage you to think about how you move your files and documents around. For instance, if you were unfortunate enough to be audited tomorrow, would you be able to show where the last 10 files and documents that were exchanged within your organization, where those files had come from, and be able to demonstrate that those files were complete and accurate? But also think about what advantages you could gain by consolidating the infrastructure you have for files and messaging into one single infrastructure. Also, it's worth thinking about the security support and the way that files are moving around your organization. Are the current technologies and methods being used secure? If you use WebFreeMQ already today, could you get more value from your investments by enabling file transfers? Would that enable you to broaden the use of this, perhaps to IT departments that deal with batch-oriented systems? And also, if you have a file transfer solution today, could you gain a lot more value from it by being able to unlock the data in those files, particularly by applying the capabilities of an ESB to that file data, such as transforming the content of a file or enriching it with information from elsewhere? Well, I'd encourage you to think about those points, and also to think about the early access program I mentioned earlier. If you're interested in participating, speak to your IBM representative and they can nominate you for the program. And also, the URL on this slide points to the analyst paper I referred to earlier from Software Strategies that really helps to explain the business benefits and the challenges involved in moving file transfers. So I hope you found that presentation useful today, particularly excited to get your feedback through the Early Access Program on the product itself. I'd encourage you to think about how you could gain advantages from managed file transfer, And I'd like to thank you for your time today and look forward to your questions. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenter. Now your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer the questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Let's get started. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Now let's pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And question 2. How was the level of technical information presented in today's teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Once again, we'll pause just a moment to allow everyone to respond. And question 3. How do you mostly transfer files today? If in-house developed solution using sockets, press star 1. If in-house developed solution using FTP, press star 2. If free FTP technologies, press star 3. If managed file transfer products based on FTP, press star 4. Once again, we'll pause for just a moment. And question 4. Now, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and if no, star 2. And that does conclude our survey. Thank you for your participation. And now, we'd like to move to your questions. To ask a question today, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Now, for those of you joining us on speakerphones, please remember to turn off your mute function before signaling for a question. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And let's pause for just a moment to assemble our roster. Frank Stanfield with Automatic Data.
Pretty sure it was mentioned that the data during a file transfer persists in MQQs. My question is, how long does that data persist? Just during the life of the file transfer or beyond?
Yeah, so hi. It really is just through for the lifetime of the actual transfer itself. If you want to persist the information for much longer, then, of course, it could be archived copied during that process. But the queues are only used as repositories for the file data if the transmission cannot happen immediately, or if there is an interruption in the network or between the applications during the transfer itself.
Okay, so it's possible if you have an intermediate queue manager and something goes wrong for that data to kind of get stuck there.
It could be waiting there until the network or the systems involved come back online. But because you're using NQ as the underlying transport, of course, you could route that information through an alternate path if the path it was originally intended to take was no longer available. And, of course, if you configured NQ to take care of it in that fashion, then the user of the file transfer system would not necessarily need to know that. So you could route it through, say, a cluster of queue managers.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
Now, with one question remaining in our queue, again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Alyssa Sampson with MetLife has our next question.
I noticed that the platform that you indicated from the host end was ZOS, and I was wondering if there is a notion that Z-Linux is going to play here, and also I'm curious if USS is needed, since USS is typically needed with these types of products anyway.
Okay, well, to the first part of the question, we certainly recognize the need and the opportunity to have this product available on the Linux for Z platform. We feel at this stage it will be unrealistic for us to set the expectation that we'll be able to support Z Linux in the first delivery in Q4. But certainly we're looking at that platform and any others that aren't covered in the first release for subsequent support. So I would think we'll be looking at Z Linux support at some point in 2009 for this offering.
And the second part is USS involved, right, you know, just even if you look at straight ZOS, because typically anything that uses the word WebSphere or Rational from IBM does tend to have a USS component when you look at the mainframe.
Right. So are you referring to the security support on ZOS?
Yes, and configuration. In other words, the backbone of the backbone.
I'd have to go away and clarify whether that particular support was needed. But certainly, if you require USSS for the MQ component on ZOS, then we would also require it. I don't know specifically whether it's going to be required for this part of the product, but certainly any prereqs for MQ will be required. I'm afraid it's not something I'm particularly familiar with.
And Ms. Sampson, do you have anything further?
IBM is obviously aware that there are competitive products in the market from at least two or three other vendors. Does IBM have some sort of competitive positioning paper so that we could understand, as a technical audience here, some of the pros and cons of IBM's approach versus, let's say, a third-party vendor FTP approach, as opposed to the homegrown, which I think nobody here would sit there and argue about its issues?
We'll certainly be providing more of those materials around the full announcement of the product itself. In its first incarnation, we are focused purely on MQ as the transport for file traffic. We do recognize that customers will want to connect into a messaging approach to manage file transfer from their existing FTP environments, and also from other vendor products that have enhanced the FTP protocol themselves. And in the cases where those vendors provide public APIs that we can use, then clearly we'll provide a level of integration with those technologies as well. We will be looking to provide information that articulate the value of a messaging-based approach rather than simply augmenting the existing FTP protocol. I think I ran through some of the features, some of the benefits of that approach, but I think the key benefit that our customers are seeing at this stage is the ability to use the same transport mechanism for both file traffic and for enterprise messaging traffic. And, of course, the opportunity to drive down operational costs by running just one infrastructure rather than having two in parallel.
Moving on and taking our next question from Wayne Flatter with ATCO.
On slide 17, you discuss the architecture, and it talks about MQ version 7 as being where the coordination queue sits on. Without that coordination queue, if you're running MQ version 6, are you not left with missing some key items to this transfer mechanism?
No, you wouldn't be. I mean, for the coordination queue manager, we do use the PubSub engine in MQ version 7, so that does need to be on that platform. But that really is because of the way that our file transfer services interact with the queue manager and use its publish and subscribe support. But if other queue managers are running version 6, there is no deficiency in the solution. The transfers will still occur, and the transfer status and the audit trail will still be broadcast. It's simply that we use the version 7 level of publish and subscribe to provide that infrastructure. And it would have increased the work we needed to do if we'd built basically two ways of providing that PubSub support.
I guess the other part of this question, of course, is that we're looking at the message broker, which is currently running on version 6.
Mr. Flatter, please go ahead.
With the message broker, which currently runs in version 6, obviously we'd have to, maybe some of this stuff wouldn't be available to us initially because we're running the message broker, but also is there plans to incorporate custom nodes into the message broker to work with this product?
Okay, so let me take the first part of the question. Obviously, the coordination queue manager can be deployed anywhere in the solution, so it's not necessarily the case that needs to be the same queue manager that is supporting message broker. Obviously, that queue manager can stay at the version 6 level. You'll still be able to transfer files to and from the message broker machine. There'll be no impact on the functionality or the auditability of that specific solution. Clearly, we will be looking at refreshing message broker in the future, and it will exploit MQ version 7 at some future point. In terms of providing a deeper level of integration within the message broker environment to provide direct integration through the tooling, for instance, to have nodes that plug directly into MQ file transfer edition, that is certainly an area that we are discussing with our colleagues in the message broker team. We're very keen to do that. And we'll be looking at how we can deliver that in Message Broker in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's move on and take a question from Ron Cohen with ADP.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, what levels of compression will be available with this product?
Good question. The answer at the moment is that we haven't defined the compression functionality. We are aware that different types of data respond better to different algorithms. We are likely to be looking at using compression algorithms that are provided within the Java libraries, at least initially, and ensuring that we have exit points defined where our clients and partners can insert their own custom compression algorithms themselves. But at this stage, because of the iterative nature of the development, we're not yet at the point where we've locked down the specific compression modules that we'll be using. If there are particular kinds of data or particular compression algorithms that you do use, I'd certainly be interested to know what those were.
Well, will these compression algorithms be across platforms, I would assume?
So I guess there's a couple of ways of doing it. One is to call any routines that are available in the native operating system, and the other, because our file transfer services are Java based, it would be to utilize algorithms available in the Java libraries. And we certainly look to exploit both of those. But as I said, we're not at the stage yet where we have actually defined that part of the product, and that's really a feature of our iterative style of delivering the offering, which means that until we address that iteration, we won't know for sure exactly which algorithms we'll have.
So there are no compression algorithms available in the beta version?
Not currently, no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Mann, we have no further questions in our queue at this time, sir. I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. Well, I'd just like to thank everyone for their time and for the questions that they've posed. I apologize if the PowerPoint, the PDF version of my slides is a little bit mangled. And I see that some of the wording is perhaps tricky to read. I'll see if I can't reproduce that in a more legible style. And if anyone wants to get in touch with me and get a copy of that, by all means use my email address, which is on the first slide of the presentation. So once again, thank you for joining the call today. I hope you found it informative, and look forward to helping each of you with your file transfer problems.
That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, and have a good day.